Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. My name is Matt Key, and today we are talking about the new Warriors. We're talking about Squirrel Girl. We're talking about Spider-Man. I have a little bitty theory on Scarlet Witch and Vision getting some romance in Infinity War. And we've got, of course, Thor Ragnarok. Stay right there, and we'll be right back.
Ba-do-boop. Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now... here's Popcorn Talks Marvel
it's
Movie
fun.
News.
Yeah.
It's, and I do have a legit theory about Scarlet Witch and Vision. It's
ooh,
just speculation.
Okay.
Just pure,
as
utter...
theories are wont to be.
Oh, wow. Look at you with the sass. All right, I'll take it. How's everyone doing? We good?
We good.
Okay, good. Yeah. Let's start the show.
Yeah.
What do you think? Start the show?
That's good idea.
Let's start the show.
It's a concept.
Yeah. It's a concept.
Let's do it.
All right.
I would call it a theory.
Let's do it.
We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 126, coming to you live from a Sakaar. How about that, Sakaar? We got Thor Ragnarok.
Fitting.
Not a sucker. We're not coming
like
to you from...
Oh,
I see. Nope. Nope. None of those things. We're coming to you live from Sakaar. S-A-K-A-A-R. Sakaar.
Nice.
It's kind of like Scar, but Sakaar. We tell you all the news from all the studios, why you should be as excited as we are. So subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also find us through the website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Also on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk or on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, tell us all your hopes and dreams and... We'll try to remember.
We'll acknowledge
we'll
them.
We'll try to remember that we have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
So
as long as they're within 140 characters, we'll acknowledge them.
Your minimalist dreams.
And if you guys will tweet a link to our show with a message telling everybody about the live chat and the thing, come watch the show live right now. Hydra Steve in the booth will retweet you.
Hey.
He's the Fonz, apparently.
Yeah.
It's Hydra Fonz. Yeah. Hydra Fonz. Hydrofons, Hydrowife, Hydrofons.
Everything works with Hydra.
It all works with Hydra. I'm Matt Key at The Matt Key. We're joined by Markeia McCarty at M-A-R-K-E-I-A-M-C-C-A-R-T-Y.
Yes.
But I still feel like I don't have the cadence down.
Close
still
work.
Yeah, I emphasize the E because it's silent,
the
so
e.
people
okay,
always...
I'm going to underline that, the
never,
E.
Never, and then
okay.
I emphasize the Y because people think an H comes before the Y and it does not.
It does not. They are wrong.
The E-Y.
They are incorrect. And we are joined by Coy Jandro at C-O-Y-A. This is the first time I messed it up
ever.
In over a year.
Koya.
Koya. At C-O-Y-J-A-N-D-R-E-A-U.
There it is. There it is. There's
go.
The magic. Yeah, okay,
there's the magic.
It's all there.
There's
it was all there.
Coy, you have some special guests in the house today. Do you want to introduce us to who's on the Cosmic Couch?
I have friend of the show, live chat contributor extraordinaire, and my mom, Mama Jandro. On the couch.
Mama Jandro!
And alongside my Mama Jandro is her mom, the graciously and loving the Mama. They're here with me today, all the way from the East Coast. My Mama's visiting from Virginia and my mom from Georgia. So they flew all the way out here for this magic.
Just for
nice.
This. Just for this.
My mom came
welcome.
Out. It was the coolest thing. My mom, like, bought tickets to a show at the Roxy. Like, my mom. And she was like, I'm gonna go to the Roxy. It's near you, right? And I was like, yeah, mom, come visit. And then my mom came. It was a whole thing. It's been a whirlwind.
Have you been to the Roxy yet?
Yes. We went on Friday night.
Who'd you see?
It was... We saw Red.
I'm not familiar with Red.
They're similar to Skillet.
You are so much cooler than I am.
And I got their autograph.
Whoa.
Nice.
They remembered me from 2 years ago.
Of course
ooh.
They did. Who could forget you? Who could forget the Stephanie?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So they came out and we did Universal. We did all the touristy stuff.
Oh, fun.
We ran around. Yeah,
nice.
Harry Potter World's awesome.
Pink.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why. They got some
man.
Sun.
Yeah.
Good.
Fun. All right.
Cool. I'm excited. And now my dad and... brother were on the show, and then my dad and sister were on... everyone's been on the show except these two, so they've been very jealous and very longing. And
well,
here.
You no longer have to be jealous, and I was not there for the other shows.
Oh, that's
so
true.
Now,
were you not?
I was not.
You missed all
not.
Of my family.
Oh, wow.
Basically, when your family's in town,
you're
I don't...
you're like, yeah,
I don't
I'm going to take a wide berth. I'm sitting here clear as much
it's
as possible.
The Jandros. I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, we're originally the Merrickses.
Oh.
Which is my middle name. I took my mama's last name as my middle name.
That's cool.
Right. Yeah, so we had a whole
I'm
family thing going.
That.
It's pretty fancy.
I'm not going to say what my mother's maiden name is because I might get robbed. I don't trust anybody.
Speculation.
Right.
Oh, I thought your okay. mom's maid, like, she was, like, exceedingly wealthy.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, the Fords.
Yeah. It's like, what was your dog's name when you were growing up?
What street did you live on when you were 12?
Why
oh, why
address?
Is this very
what's your childhood best friend's name?
Questions you ask yourself all the time.
Who was
your
know,
school mascot?
Tell me.
What color did he wear?
All right. thank you for joining us. It's an honor to have you on the Cosmic Couch.
Thank you for having us.
What's your favorite Marvel movie? Do you have one?
It's definitely Captain America, the first.
The first one, the first Avenger.
That's a weird movie.
Joe Johnson, not a weird movie. Joe Johnson did really well.
It's a movie that happened.
It's a superhero rocketeer guy.
You know the octaves we went up when we said it was from the moment. I'm just wondering if you heard the dogs dying in front of my radius. Yeah, Captain America, the first Avenger, is a splendid film.
I like the movie. John Johnson did a great job with
it. But then Winter Soldier and Civil War followed it, so I don't go like, the three.
Hey, you know what? You know what? Just because those two films were incredible does not discount how good the first one was.
Touche. Mm-hmm. Touche.
You can get out, sir. All you right. can get out.
Fine.
Mama, do you have a favorite?
I like Superman.
She's on the other side of the
fence. Oh, you're in DC world.
She just comes here throwing bows. She's like, I know it's not Marvel. I like Superman.
They
like Guardians of the Galaxy very much, which we'll be talking about.
You know what? That one was good.
See?
It's the Mamaw. She can like whatever.
She can like whatever.
She's got another name, like Seal the Core.
All right, let's move on to Marvel news. Like Superman. I thought it would be fun to start with kind of a bigger story, kind of slump into like, these are kind of some smaller stories, and then in with Thor Ragnarok. Marvel's New Warriors TV show with Squirrel Girl ordered straight to series. Now, this is a big deal. I don't even know if they've actually filmed a pilot for this, but ABC Freeform, what used to be the family ABC's family channel, just ordered like straight to series. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Make the pilot. Let's go straight to series with this.
Make it go.
Let's do it. And at the head of that group is Squirrel Girl.
Was your house this week?
So it was. I don't want to get too much. So that's my lovely wife Brittany. That's one of her favorite illustrations of Squirrel Girl ever.
Yeah, it's a Squirrel Girl sitting at a table being just a. Dorkable, and it looks like she's about to squeeze icing onto. She's about to pipe icing onto an acorn.
Yeah, onto like an acorn cake, cake. And there's a I think maybe Tippy Toe or Monkey Joe going for the nuts right to her left.
Yeah. Yes, definitely going for the nuts.
Yeah. So it was so great. I woke up, since I do the Screen Junkie stuff in the mornings, like I typically up around 6 to start looking for news and stuff. So I woke up, I'm looking for news. It's the very first thing in my email from Variety, like, hey, they just greenlit this. I'm like, well, that's the story today. Like, that's an easy job.
Yeah.
And before I left the house that morning, I like woke up Brittany. It must have been like around 7 o'clock. And I was like, hey, guess what? You're getting a Squirrel Girl series. And she's like, really? And she was just like, like even out of her sleep, she was like, that's the best news ever. went right back to sleep. It was a great day. It was a great day.
I imagine the whole week has just been like, remember anything that goes wrong today?
Squirrel Girl. Yeah.
It's just like a resolution.
I have a lot of friends who are big fans of Squirrel Girl. You know, like the co-host on the Wednesday Club show that I do on Wednesdays, Amy Dolan, giant fan of Squirrel Girl. Like,
and she's a very Squirrel Girl type human.
Yeah, and like she knows her stuff. Yeah. So like, so...
Nice.
That makes it sound like my wife doesn't know her stuff. She knows her stuff, too.
Well,
so.
Just because, what do you say, Amy?
Amy Dolan, yeah.
Amy, just because Amy does doesn't mean Brittany doesn't.
No, I just want to make sure
they only
that,
have so much knowledge this year.
I know.
One learns a fact, the other forgets.
Oh, my God.
Brittany wakes up like, oh,
no! That would be the worst sci-fi ever. Like,
just like
constantly
two people that only know
knowledge.
One thing.
Oh, my God. I want to know the answer to 1 + 1. Oh, I forgot it!
One gets blackout drunk and the other one's like, I feel so informed.
So anyway, there's a new series coming out. We're so off topic. Really. My God, what are we doing? Yeah. So New Warriors is starting up. There's no other information on it except that it is about 6 young people with powers living and working together with powers and abilities on the opposite end of the spectrum of the Avengers. The New Warriors want to make a difference in the world, even if the world isn't ready. Not quite super, not yet heroes. Marvel's New Warriors is about that time in your life when you first enter adulthood and feel like you can do everything and nothing at once. Except in this world, bad guys can be as terrifying as bad dates. So that's
in LA, especially.
Yeah. So it's like kind of like the rated G version of Friends meets the Avengers.
I'd say Friends was PG, sir.
Yeah.
There were times
there were
that
moments.
Unquestionable
then
adult content.
PG-13.
Did you see Aniston's nipples consistently? Because you did.
Look. That's why I didn't call Friends PG. Like, okay. Friends was already PG. This is a G-rated version of the Friends. PG Friends.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're doing this, especially with Runaways coming out on Hulu. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, maybe a lot of the properties are just up for grab, and they're really trying to hit that next generation, that next market.
I think they are. I think they're trying to get all the younger stuff into like the TV world. And honestly, I think they're trying to give CW a run for the money. Especially on Freeform.
That's going to be a tough run.
And here's why I say that. I want to get back to New Warriors and kind of take some guesses as to who the characters might be. But while we're on the subject, I want to say, let's see. It was Carrie Burke, the network executive vice president over at Freeform, said the characters they've chosen for the show are all really singular and could each carry the show that they're on. They're bound together as a band of underdogs for as long as we choose. But it's conceptually tailor-made for spinoffs. So it sounds like instead of doing what the CW did with Arrow and then being like, hey, this works. Let's put the Flash on there and see how it goes. Oh, people love the Flash.
They're going the other way.
They're going the other way, which is almost exactly kind of what DC is they're doing kind of the same, a similar tactic.
Yeah, the Justice League thing.
Here's Squirrel Girl. And here's like five other characters maybe you heard of.
It's kind
of
like... Even Squirrel Girl's a stretch.
Yeah, even that.
Like, if that's their headliner, like, Squirrel Girl and Friends. Who and Friends? For, like, a lot of people, Squirrel Girl's a very confusingly obscure character.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, Spice Girls. It reminds me of K-pop. Well, it's because they'll have, like, these, you know, bigger groups. The magic number seems to be 5 to 17, depending on K-pop or J-pop, what you listen to.
You're educating me so much right now.
Really?
Please, like, for real, keep going. This is
fascinating. But it's even they did it with Pussycat Dolls, where it's just, these are all singing groups.
Sure. No, Pussycat Dolls and Spice Girls, I'm on. Like, K-pop, I'm familiar with. I just don't know how... Keep going. You're going.
It's like the Beatles. There's always going to be somebody that somebody else is going to relate to. So if you have 5 to 7 of them, then somebody's going to get on board with. So they'll be like, oh, I love Firestar. Oh, you know, Squirrel Girl's cool, but Firestar, our Scarlet Spider's my dude, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
He is my dude.
He is your
dude.
He is his dude. So he is his dude. I think that they're going with Squirrel Girl because I think she's really hot right now. Like, I think she, like, in just in, like, sort of Marvel culture. It's like, everyone loves Squirrel Girl. Like, and her comic is great. Like, her comic is really funny. It's really great.
It doesn't hurt that celebrities are tweeting that they want to be her.
Exactly.
That doesn't hurt.
She's like the cult darling. Like, she's the Trainspotting.
That's actually
of Squirrel
a really
Girl.
Good way to put it.
Like, she's the film student favorite. Like, Donnie Darko Trainspotting of the Marvel Universe. She's like the one everybody talks about, but nobody sees in theaters.
Yeah, she was like Howard the Duck in the 80s when he first hit. Like, everyone was like, Howard the Duck, yes! Like, she's taken that sort of mantle right now where everyone, like, if you're in the know, like, you're like, yeah, Squirrel Girl, she's great. Mm-hmm. She's really cool.
Did we fan cast her at your home?
I have always loved the idea that she is Shannon Purser from...
I don't know that name.
Yes, you do. She was Barb in Stranger Things.
That is a fan favorite.
And she has stated in the past, she's a giant fan of Squirrel Girl, would love to play Squirrel Girl.
I'd have to see more of her work to be on board with that. I mean, when you really think about it, yes, she's like a cult favorite of, you know... I've watched so much TV lately.
Stranger Things.
Yeah. Thanks. Not 13 Reasons Why, which is what I just finished binging. I would just want to see some more of her work before. I think she's got a good look and a good energy, but just want to see some more.
The big one that a lot of people are saying, I think it's Mae Whitman. Is that her name? She was in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
That's
the big one. A lot of people really want her.
I got 3.
Oh, of course you do.
It seems like they're going young with it, though.
Mine are not as young, but if she's the leader, I'd want a little older so she could lead the team a little bit more. But, like, in like the Kitty Pryde mantle, where she's a little bit older than the other students, but she's still youthful.
Right.
I like Kristen Schaal from The Daily Show. She's an actress.
Well, and a lot of
and
things,
every comedy you see
and
her pop
fun.
Up in.
Sure.
And she's great. And she has a cool look that isn't going to be, like... I don't want Squirrel Girl to be too, like, just stunning. Like, I don't want the Squirrel Girl to be, like, the stereotypically attractive superhero.
Sure.
Which... is why also Kate McKinnon, because Kate McKinnon's gorgeous in the most quirky of ways, and Kate McKinnon's Ghostbusters was the one I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Like, Ghostbusters was 4 movies. Kate McKinnon's movie was the best one.
Sure.
And then Anna Kendrick is Squirrel Girl to me. Like,
those
Anna Kendrick.
Are all three, like, cinema, like...
You know who's going to TV? Everyone wants to get paid.
I guess. But it's ABC Freeform. Like, it's not a giant network.
They're trying to beat CW?
I think it's probably going to be an unknown. Either that or probably, you said Shannon Purser?
Yeah, Shannon Purser. Yeah.
Shannon Purser.
She's an unknown.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll probably something.
And
a
like she
bit
fits
smaller,
the bill,
but maybe with
like
the energy of like
fun,
Anna Kendrick.
Or, I could see her playing it. personally.
I'm in.
So, who else do we want to see? Because let's go down the roster real quick from the new Warriors. There's Justice. There's Speedball.
Mm-hmm. Speedball's great.
They'll have Speedball.
Yeah, he has Speedball. He's who I think of with that team.
Yeah, his Speedball. His powers is that he's a bouncy ball. when you boil it down, his power is that he's a bouncy ball.
Yeah, it's
and
like
his personality is that of a bouncy ball.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like the kid from Hook. You just want to see him turn into a ball.
Yes,
it's true.
Yes,
true.
Oh my god,
I played him in a play once.
Oh my god, I love you.
Yeah,
So you've got Nova possibly. Mm-hmm. That could be a little hard to maybe pull off on TV.
Yeah,
but you could still do it.
Right,
you could still do it. I would be a little disappointed if it was Nova because I really want to see him in the movies. Yeah, now that I've talked about not Schwarzenegger, God, that would be amazing.
Stallone,
wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stallone. Is so strong.
I love it. Though we've got a new theory on who Stallone is.
Oh,
that's right.
Is that later on the show?
That's later on the show. It's a couple of pages down.
There's also Rage and there's also Night Thrasher, who's basically like super duper like poor man budget Batman. Like he's like, I want to be a vigilante. I'm gonna put on some pads and
the skateboard.
Maybe.
I think he does.
Isn't Darkhawk one or am I?
Darkhawk I think
like,
was
like
one at one time, and he would actually be pretty cool version. To do too because he's like,
you know, just
he would just like suit. Have an android like basically. Exactly. He's like, I'm gonna transfer my consciousness to this future android that I have with a crystal. Like yeah. I don't know why he sounds like a nerd in my head.
Yeah, for some reason he did.
Yeah, of course he does.
He does. Yeah. It's a pretty great
skateboard. So anyway, yeah. So that's I'm like legit excited. Like I was excited for Cloak and Dagger. Now I'm really like oh man, I'm gonna have to figure out a way to get cable now because like I have to see these shows.
Yeah,
I have to see these shows.
Well, maybe they'll release on something else like Amazon Prime.
With cord cutting, what it is, hopefully there's just a network we can just like a Marvel like umbrella.
Here's the other thing: the original team that Squirrel Girl belonged to was the Great Lakes Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with Hawkeye? Which one am I thinking of?
I don't know that Hawkeye. Maybe Hawkeye led it during the initiative, maybe, and then was like, "Screw this team, you guys are all ridiculous." So here's their roster. There's a dude named Mr. Immortal. His power is that he can die, but he comes back to life. That's all.
So he's Kenny.
Yeah, he's basically just Kenny. So, like, it's not that he can't die. He totally dies. He just comes back later, depending on how dead he was deaded, I guess. So, like, if you cut him and he bleeds to death, like, he's like, oh my god, this is the worst thing ever. Like, he'll slowly die, but then come back to life pretty quickly because the wound wasn't bad. But if you shoot him in the face and blow his head off, it may take him a day to come back, but he'll always come back.
Okay, or he's like, was it the, in Preacher, the television show, the Angels?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very much like that, but he doesn't regenerate as fast.
Okay.
So, like, he has the worst power. Like, it's the worst power. Then there's also Flatman, who's basically Mr. Fantastic, but two-dimensional. And that's, like, he can squeeze under doors.
Yeah. Must be difficult to buy clothing.
There's Flatman. There's Mr. Immortal, the dude that looks like Speedball. The guy on the left is Doorman, and he kind of looks like a Spider-Man ripoff with a Moon Knight cape. And his power is that he can open portals. He's the only one who's actually kind of legitimately a hero on this entire team. And then Big Bertha is a supermodel by day, but when she needs to be a hero, she can turn herself into a human ton, like blob, super strong hero. But she's a supermodel during the day.
How are they going to make this watchable?
I'm not saying that they're going to use them.
No,
I'm saying.
But these are the characters.
No, these are the characters.
These are Great Lakes Avengers. I'm saying, if they ever go that way, like, are any of these marketable?
I'm just saying, Mr. Immortal is kind of great. I would actually kind of love to see Mr. Immortal in the new Warriors.
They could have them sitting somewhere eating shawarma. I mean, that would work.
All right. It's probably time for us to move on.
Around the corner.
Yeah. Or they're at the Cherry Pit, and they're just, like, having some milkshakes.
Yep. It's going to be a little moment for the fans.
Yeah, and Asi Kangasharjus, hopefully I said that right, at The Real Exosis. I hope that answered your question of what characters we want to see in the new Avengers TV show.
Mr. Immortal. It's the worst answer ever, but I actually would kind of love to see, like, such a terrible character.
You've got Matt $16, Marvel. You've got Matt $16.
I'll give $20 for Mr. Immortal. It's so bad. It's so dumb. But they've got $25 from me just based on Squirrel Girl. All right, Jessica Jones got some casting news.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am not familiar with this actress, or Janet McTeer. You guys familiar with Ms. McTeer's work?
Yeah.
EW is reporting that that Janet McTeer, who was I think she was Oscar nominated. I believe she won a Golden Globe. Maybe I'm wrong, but she's like a major, like, oh my god, actress.
Okay, she doesn't even look familiar to me.
Yeah, she looks familiar to me.
Is she a character actress?
I don't think so. I think she's she plays like very specific dramatic roles.
It took
me
a while to realize that Tom Hardy was an actual person because he was, you know. So
that's the best quote ever.
As opposed to,
well, you know, like as an actor person, that was that same person doing all of those.
He's
roles.
The best actor ever. Well, that's why.
Because he's such a great character actor.
Yeah, he really is.
Him and Jake Gyllenhaal are perfect men. She was in Me Before You, the very underrated tearjerker from 2016.
Anything else?
The underrated tearjerker from 2016. Me Before You.
So anyway, she was cast in the series as an undisclosed character who will have an enormous impact on Jessica's life.
Mm-hmm.
Very vague description that gives us. She could be a villain. She could be a hero. She could be an ally.
Yeah,
that's basically all it is. Hey, we have this character. She's on the show a lot,
and she looks like someone that could fit like any like good, bad. Like she's not.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. So I would need to go watch her. The White Queen and Damages is what we have here.
Okay, things I haven't seen.
Yeah, exactly. So let's put this to our Mary Marvelites. Have you guys seen Ms. McTeer? Would she be a good villain or a good hero? Let us know.
Yeah.
As fast as you can, because we're live.
Yeah, because I'm guessing it could be any of Jessica's family, because they're all, you know,
I mean, it could
gone.
Possibly be like something, an aunt or something, maybe, but I
maybe,
even
maybe
then I doubt
that. Maybe the physician
route.
Maybe she's the one that injected her with IGHs, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a possibility.
You know,
save her life. Now I own you.
Now I own you. Do what I say. Do my bidding, Jessica Jones. I don't know why she sounds like a very hairy man. Here's my thought. When I first saw her, I think she's the CEO of IGH.
She does look
She has a CEO-ish look, right?
Yeah, like a corporate high up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. I buy it.
Okay.
So I think that she is like the CEO of IGH, or like someone high up. I think, like, going along with your theory, like I think that she has something to do with IGH in some way. And I think that Jessica Jones,
a route of I created you, I am your mom.
Yeah.
Like I own you.
I own
you. Need to
you.
Do this for me.
I own you. Eat this apple. I don't know why she's like
she became Maleficent.
Yeah. She became a hairy man version of Maleficent. Her sweet man. Her sweet HIRSUTE.
When does Jones drop? Do we have a date?
We don't have a date, but we do know that it just started filming within a fortnight. Because
we got Defenders, Punisher, presumably Jones.
Presumably Punisher. Yeah. We have no release date for that yet. For all we know, they're gonna
Netflix Marvel stuff to talk about too.
Punisher's wrapped,
right?
But there's no release date for it yet. So for all I know, like Netflix is looking at it going, Iron Fist, maybe this isn't ready to go.
Well, Scott Buck wasn't in charge of it.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. And John Bernthal was
sorry,
in it, so I'm sure it's fine.
I worked on my sassy out.
Keep the sass in. I like the sass. All right, so moving on to the other Netflix news that you were talking about. Daredevil 3 is probably going to start filming later this year. You're excited about that? Is that one of your favorites, Stephanie? Yeah?
Absolutely. We marathoned it.
Yeah?
Yeah, we did each season in two nights each.
Whoa.
Wow.
So,
that's commitment. I love that.
Yeah.
Favorite season was one or two?
One.
Yeah?
That's
yeah.
most people's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like two more, but I'm in the Few the Proud.
Well, my favorite season was one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my favorite of the two is how they handled the Punisher. So, like, it's a weird thing for me. It's like, if I want to watch the whole season through, it's season one. If I'm like, I kind of want to see like the highlights of Daredevil, like I'll go watch the Punisher
season two are higher than the peaks in one, but one overall.
Good way to put it. Yeah,
gotcha.
Good way.
See,
to put
I
it.
Like season two as the best of any Netflix series.
Wow, ooh,
season two is my favorite Netflix series.
Bold statement.
Yeah. Stand by.
I'm glad the sass is still there.
I know.
Yeah, I still got it. Season two is my favorite Netflix. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Oh, this is bold a water statement.
Just bold just statement. A cup full of sass, and I stand by it. It's a great show.
Well, that's great. Do you have you seen the Daredevils?
No.
I just got my mind to Netflix like 2 days ago, and she watched all of Grace and Frankie in, in the time she was here.
Nice.
So, welcome to the time suck.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all over. Yes, she's Netflix. Going back and making her own kombucha and starting a Netflix account. And she
you
went,
make your own kombucha?
She's going to.
She's starting now. She's been Googling. So it's like, I made her so LA in a week.
I love that.
Wow.
I love that.
I broke my
mouth. Had my first smoothie.
Oh.
Did my first selfie.
Yeah, did the first selfie. I've been catching up for lost time.
You taught her well.
Yeah, you had brunch, it's from what I understand.
Yep. Welcome to Los Angeles. Brunch, Netflix, selfies, kombucha.
Yep.
That's our lives. Yes. That's our lives.
Yeah, yeah. That's LA in a blender, and there it is.
So, Marvelites, come visit me. I'll teach you how to LA.
So, Charlie Cox was on a radio show called Film and Telly Stuff with Luke and Owl. And when asked about Daredevil, he said, I do that later in the year. We'll go back and do that. So he films later this year, which means they're probably looking at a 2018 release. Probably, my guess is August of next year.
Ooh. I'm excited. I love it. Yeah.
So
it's my birthday month.
August is?
Yeah.
That's my mother's birthday month.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah. Means nothing to you. It means something to me, though. Now I'll remember your birthday a little bit better because I have association with it.
I have two aunts that share my birthday month also.
And
one aunt that shares my birthday.
Oh. I'm an October baby. I'm not giving you the date because then you'll steal all my stuff. All right.
What was your mom's maiden name again?
I almost answered it. I was like, oh, wait.
Wait, what street did you grow up on?
Not telling you. Inhumans. All right, guys. I'm getting a little more and more nervous about this Inhumans thing.
Oh.
I'm just going to say it. I'm going to preface with that, and I want someone to calm me down on it and assure me that everything's going to be okay. Inhuman synopsis is reportedly released. Now, this is not an official synopsis. It came from Spoiler TV. Mm-hmm. And the synopsis, as they reported it, is after the royal family of Inhumans is splintered by a military coup, they barely escape to Hawaii, where their surprising interactions with the lush world and humanity around them may prove to not only save them, but Earth itself.
You guys, remember that beautiful week, that whole week where I was like, you know, the casting of these Inhumans is so good, I'm an Inhumans guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
been destroyed by these three sentences of pure stupidity.
The Inhumans go on vacation.
The Inhumans go to Hawaii. The Inhumans literally like saunter down and say, that's bull. This is not.
Sorry, Markia, go ahead.
Yeah. I am perturbed. We'll say that that's a good word for it.
It is a good word.
They have all of this material. They mm-hmm. have all this amazing mm-hmm. material.
It's a Kirby invention.
And then they just subtract all of that and they start at them on vacation. And for people that don't know them, they're going to start with them on vacation in Hawaii. How does anyone think that is a really great start for this property?
Can I tell you what I hear when I read this?
Yeah.
Tax incentive?
No.
I mean, they're not Adam Sandler. You can't just, you know.
No,
like,
I
we're going to set this in Hawaii.
I hear, remember that incredible Marvel property named Iron Fist? This incredible property, it's called Iron Fist, he's from this magical city called Kunlun, or Kunlun, however you want to say it, and the show was produced by a man named Scott Buck, who didn't show Kunlun, or Kunlun. Now he's doing the Inhumans and going, hey, you know this incredible city called Adelon that they're from? Let's go to Hawaii. Like, I'm just like, I'm a, like...
When I think moon, I think Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like...
Maybe it's a very lush moon? No.
Yeah, I just like
our moon on the other side, real green.
Yeah,
real green and sandy.
I Scott Buck has me trigger shy on the Inhumans.
I get
it. Like, and I don't want to be because I love the like Black Bolt's one of my top five characters. Like, I want to love this show. Scott Buck has me a little nervous. This has me a little, and this is rumored. Mm-hmm. This may not be the deal. This may be someone just making something up, or they heard something and they're like, I can make this up. Like, I know kind of what it's about. I'm going to start a rumor, whatever.
But they are shooting in Hawaii.
They're shooting in Hawaii. There's a military coup, so it's not technically vacation. They just kind of got forced out, and they ended up in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, these humans aren't too bad after all. Let's hang out with them. Like,
but how I get it. There?
Yeah.
They're from the moon.
I just.
But they're necessarily from the moon.
I know, but that's just the modern inhuman. Like, we think of.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Yeah. Marcia. I just. The disconnect, though, is like if you have what this synopsis appears to be, how do you have the inhumans that then, you know, we're pretty close to Infinity War. And we, you know, we have, you know, Thanos's guys doing like the whole Infinity Stone search. Then how can you have these people that are hanging out in Hawaii with, you know, how can you have that be where Lockjaw is going to be taking out some of Thanos's guys?
On
it's like
beach.
where's on the beach?
Beach.
On the he's gonna be playing frisbee
playing
with Lockjaw.
I think as the two, like, as Marvel Television and the Marvel Cinematic Universe continue, I think they're just becoming more and more separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like the movies are never going to point at television, and television's always going to do its best to piggyback on what the films are doing to generate more revenue and get more eyes on their show, but the movies are never going to reciprocate. Like,
they shouldn't.
And Inhumans is only, I think, 8 to 10 episodes. I can't remember the exact number, but it's a limited series, very much like Agent Carter was. So I don't think they're going to have any interaction at all with the cinematic universe.
I'm not saying that they have the interaction with them. I'm saying to get them and build up their history to a point where that is possible.
Or
you can have it possible, like, this is a universe where this can happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, with, well, just from these three sentences, you know, maybe there's more, but did see Iron Fist and there wasn't a dragon. There wasn't a dragon. Yeah. I didn't even hug a dragon. I expected him to at least hug a dragon.
Or at least sing a lullaby. Something. They don't even have to be in the same scene. Just like, he walks into a cave and there's a dragon, like,
or maybe,
yo, what up?
Or maybe the, you know, digging his hands into the molten heart, something.
Something.
So it's just, it just seems like this particular showrunner focuses on averaging out the really spectacular parts of these characters that we love.
It's a really good way to put it.
I mean, there's mainstream and then there's just what this is.
I don't understand why he wants to watch it. Look, we're making a lot of assumptions.
These three
sentences were very upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're making a lot of assumptions.
Let's move on to something that we know a little bit more about.
Indeed.
And that is Stallone's mystery role in Guardians of the Galaxy. We know nothing about this, by the way. that was a joke. All right. So here, we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying that I thought he might be like a Nova Corps, like maybe Richard Rider. Turns out I might be very wrong.
Oh.
Turns out maybe Michael Rosenbaum is a Richard Rider or something like that. But I don't think we're going to get Nova at all.
Yeah.
I don't think we're in it, which is disappointing because I think Sam Alexander is a great character to play with and to bring into the Marvel Universe for Phase 4.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not going to get it, and that's okay. But what we do have... our good friends at the MCU Exchange a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, got their hands on the junior novelization of the Guardians of the Galaxy film.
Okay.
As far as I understand what that means, the junior novelization is a telling of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's, hey, here's the book, here's the plot, here's everything that happens, but it's in very young adult YA, PG language and such. So,
is it safe to say this is a spoiler?
Yeah, this could be a spoiler. I mean, it's a week old. If you haven't already heard it, you know,
maybe tune out for the next 5 minutes. But Italian, then it won't be a spoiler for everybody.
I'm going to butcher this. Nel ruolo de sticar. How did I do?
I don't know. I speak Italian.
Nel ruolo de sticar.
It's Matt's weekly offend some nationality segment.
Yeah. God, I'm so bad. I tried though. I'm trying.
Yeah,
like, someone in Italy, please tell me how to actually pronounce that correctly. All right. So they got their hands on this, and so again, minor spoilers. Yondu walks into a bar. There's a joke. So Yondu, a Ravager, walk into a bar, buddy. Yondu walks into a bar, sees a group of Ravagers in blue uniforms. Now, I will say that the uniform I saw Stallone in at San Diego Comic-Con was blue, which is why I immediately assumed, oh, he's a Nova Corps somehow.
Right.
Turns out, maybe not. Among the people in the blue uniforms, Yondu sees a man described as a legend among the Ravagers who is having a conversation, and he drops the name Aletta. And then they go on to say, Yondu has a conversation, and it ends with the man who is never named in the book exiling Yondu from the Ravagers, telling him he won't hear no horns of freedom when you die, and the colors of Ogard will not flash over your grave. So
now,
let me
now, now say Adrian.
Adrian. Actually, if I were going to say that more, is still don't want to be like, yeah, you won't hear no horns of freedom when you die, and the colors of Ogard will not flash over your grave. Is that good? Was that good?
Yeah. I did still remember Thank fights, you, and it sounded like Bernie Sanders. So I have no. I did a pretty solid Bernie Sanders.
All right, so so now let me help unpack this a little bit further. There's a website called Movies Book, and a lot of other places ran with this once it was discovered. There's an Italian document that gives a casting rundown for the film, and its final line says Stallone will be playing a character named Stekar, Stakra. So, Stekar, as we see there, we're scrolling down to this press release, whatever, that was in Italy. Stekar, S-T-A-K-A-R, Nuvolo de Stekar. Stallone plays Stekar. Stekar is Starhawk. Stekar Ogard is Starhawk. He was one of the original Guardians. So the absolutely 100% 1969 original Guardians were Vance Astro, an astronaut from Earth sent 1,000 years into the future. Charlie 27, a man 1,000 years in the future who was genetically bred on Jupiter. Martin X, a human who was born to survive the extremes of Pluto's environment. Yondu Udonta, who Michael Rooker plays. He was actually from Alpha Centauri. Then Starhawk later joined Stekar Ogard. So, it sounds as if what James Gunn has done is instead of making the original Guardians of the Galaxy the original Guardians of the Galaxy, he's made them all Ravagers.
That's fun.
Oh, okay.
Because like Yondu was a Ravager.
Yeah.
Right.
Starhawk is a Ravager.
Stekar.
Stekar. Ogard, which is why he says, and the colors of Ogard will not flash over your grave. I just like reading it. Like I know that doesn't say anything like Stallone. And the colors of Ogard will not flash over your grave there. I fixed it. For all those of you in Stallone land, please tell me how to pronounce that correctly.
Not to be confused with Hulkland.
Yeah, Hulkland. Aleta is a very... So that's the actual original Guardians of the Galaxy. So you've got Martin X on the left. Or is that Vance Astro? It's hard to tell from here.
It's a little bit darker.
Yondu Udonta is in the back, and Charlie 27 is the giant kind of behind them who was bred to withstand the gravity of Jupiter. Starhawk gets his power from the Hawk God of, I believe, Centaurus? No, Arcturus 4, I think. Mm-hmm. Or is this an Arcturus, I believe. He is invulnerable. He is a precognitive.
Oh, wow.
Has energy projection. And after he got all of his powers from the Hawk God of Arcturus, it was done with his stepsister, Aleta, who he mentioned by name here. Mm-hmm. And they have a very confusing history where they both inhabit the same body in some capacity. And depending on what the needs are, Aleta will come out sometimes, and sometimes it's Stekar. So, and at one point, they both separated, had babies, and it was weird and whatever. So
kind of like Carrie and Carrie from Legion.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Cool. Like that. So,
James Gunn's the biggest geek we know. He's pulling the deepest nerd cards.
Yeah, that is such a deep nerd card. If we see Stallone and he suddenly changes into a woman named Aleta, I will cheer. I will stand up in the middle of the audit. I will, yes, you win every geek card ever.
Now, how do you tie that into Rosenbaum?
Oh, I can't.
Right? Right? They're connected. We've heard they're connected. Rosenbaum is the woman.
There's no way he would be like,
Have you seen Sorority Boys? It's incredible. Rosenbaum as a woman.
I'm just saying, I highly doubt in today's climate that James Gunn would be like, you know what I'm going to do instead of casting a woman? Cast a white male. Like, that wouldn't backfire fast. Right. None of us would be upset by that. So, I think that this holds water, though. I really, really do. Because, like, I've seen him wearing blue at San Diego Comic-Con. Do you like blue? Sorry, it's a weird thing. Okay, sorry. Stay on topic, Matt. It's the coffee. I blame the coffee. Mm-hmm. I think this is actually who it is.
All right. It sounds like a very solid theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the
Starhawk's a weird dude.
Yeah. Very deep cuts. Yeah. So it's like.
But if James Gunn, if anyone's going to do it, I trust James Gunn to do the weirdest of weird. So, like, yeah. Every time anything's mentioned, I'm like, could be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I trust it. Like, I'm so carte blanche. Like, I'm so open to whatever they throw at me with Guardians.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I just got it. Michael Rosenbaum is playing either Martinex or Vance Astro.
Oh, I'd love that. Oh, because they're tied together, the original Guardians, so that puts them together, and that makes them all the Ravagers.
And that would make them the Ravagers. I doubt he's playing Charlie 27, because Charlie 27 is the size of Juggernaut.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Vince Astro, though.
But Vance Astro. Astro, yeah, who goes on to become Major Victory.
Yeah, I can see that.
Nice. I think that would... all right, I'm on board. I think that would be cool. I just now had that thought. I was like, oh my God, the original Guardians.
If they did have Charlie 27, then that'd be somebody that Drax could play with.
Ooh, he would be a giant Ravager for Drax to play patty cake with.
That'd I love how little great. We know. This movie comes out.
Yeah,
I know. Speaking of movies, we know very little of Thor Ragnarok. Can't wait to get to that. All right, let's move on. So I've got a very brief theory here that I want to go over: Scarlet Witch and Vision romance. All right, so a couple weeks ago, I think like third week of March, a video came out from the set in Old Town Edinburgh. Showing, I don't have any pictures for this except for maybe like the Vision and Scarlet Witch kissing in the comic books, not like the actress. There was a video of Vision in Old Town Edinburgh. So, Scarlet Witch, I believe, is shooting in a very similar location to that currently, which would put Scarlet Witch and Vision in the same place at the same time. Now, we also saw Vision fighting a dude in a mocap suit, and he had
Corvus Glaive.
We're all assuming it's Corvus Glaive. We don't know that for sure. For all we know, it's like a lot of soldiers who.
And Proxima was the other one. Proxima Midnight.
Yeah. But it was a male doing the mocap suit. Like so. It doesn't fully matter, but I would rather see a female in a mocap suit if she's playing Proxima Midnight.
Yes, I would also
prefer
diversity behind the camera. So, yes.
So, there they are. They're kissing and in love, and they're shocking. Black Knight and Crystal. So, we know we can assume they're in the same location at the same time, and they're both fighting the same person in the mocap suit, from what I can tell, with the same weapon.
Okay.
So my guess is, we haven't seen any of the other Avengers around. Scarlet Witch, when she was in Civil War, we saw her with Captain America's team. Vision was with Iron Man's. So that means Scarlet Witch is on the run. So if Vision has caught up to her, like, what if he was looking for her? What if he's going to find her and be like, hey, look, you're on the run. I know where you're at. I'm not going to turn you in because I care for you. But maybe if you, like, turn yourself in, we can get you back. We can clear some charges. We can figure this out. Mm-hmm. I think that might be what's kind of going on. And then they both get attacked by Corvus Glaive.
That sounds solid.
Yeah. And then babies.
But then
Vision's death.
And then Infinity something.
Yeah. And then Corvus Glaive is like, "You have the you have the Mind Stone. I want the Mind Stone." I don't know why. That's probably exactly how it sounds.
Phase 4 is so weird.
Mm. Yeah.
Like the last 20 minutes, I've been sitting here just in my own head about how weird it is.
Doesn't surprise me that you're sitting there thinking about weird things.
Because we're talking characters that are so deep 70s. We're talking
This is phase 3. Like, we're not even in phase 4 yet.
I know, but we're only not going to get normal. We're not going to go back. We're not going to normalize the Marvel. Like, Marvel Universe is going to be so weird by phase 4 that, like, I won't be able to explain it to people. Like, it feels so, like, removed from reality now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not upset. I'm confused.
Yeah. No, I love it,
like,
though.
I actually love being confused by it. The Thor trailer had me going, like...
Yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like this entire world just has to kind of implode on itself at once.
More, I feel, between phase 2 and 3 than phase 1 and 2. I guess that's what I'm struck by.
That's kind of what I'm putting together.
Like, phase 1 and 2 felt like escalation, but on a linear path. This feels like escalation by way of Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that more.
We've got Jeff Goldblum.
It feels like we're living in the Goldblum. Being
Goldblum.
We're playing a lot of jazz.
We got to move on. Captain Marvel, Brie Larson describes her Captain Marvel character, saying, let's see. She's a believer in truth and justice, and she is a bridge between Earth and space. She's fighting between the flaws that are within her and all this good that she wants to try and spread and make the world a better place. She can also fly and shoot things out of her hands, and she's really funny. So... I mean, it kind of tells us everything that we kind of already assumed, I think. But
she's just very excited. She seems like she's a newer
she's
fan,
so
right?
Excited. She's
yeah,
so excited.
She's so excited, which is great.
Yeah, that makes me happy to hear.
Be excited about, you know, your character. Be excited about the history of that character. It's like, great. Yeah, be on board. I like enthusiasm.
And she's adorable. I love Brie Larson. Whenever I read her quotes, I'm like, you can just see her beaming with pride.
Yeah.
Like, she's Captain Marvel.
Yeah, she really is Captain Marvel in a lot of ways.
And that's our Superman. Like, that's Marvel's, like, big powerhouse. Like, that's our...
Yeah.
Mamaw's gonna love that movie. Because we got a Superman.
The Mamaw. Don't take the article away from her. Thank you.
It's like united.
But I do like that she says she's fighting between the flaws that are within her and all this good that she wants to try and do. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that's cool. Also, I think it's important that she says, and she can shoot things out of her hands. Because, like, we haven't... If you think about it... Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen people shooting energy blasts out of their hands, except for Iron Man, who creates them with his suit. And we have Scarlet Witch, who does this thing and can pull people apart and push people away. She kind of like Super Force, basically, from Star Wars. And we have the Vision, who can shoot this stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But we don't have anyone who's going, energy blast.
If it goes full Dragon Ball Z, I'll be stoked.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. So... Anyway.
It shouldn't go full Dragon Ball Z, though.
You don't want two hours of... Yeah!
Yelling at the mic.
I've got to charge. Oh, no, you've cracked my armor. That was holding in my power.
We watched different Dragon Ball Zs. Mine was...
That was Y Punch Man. I'm mixing the ones now.
All right. Spider-Man Homecoming will feature an Avengers...
I just mixed Y the Last Man and One Punch Man.
It's okay.
I'd watch that.
We've all done
it. My world is imploding.
We've all done it. Yeah. It's okay. Common mistake. Spider-Man Homecoming will feature an Avengers flashback scene. So this is, you know, possible spoiler. This is where the movie starts. If you don't want to hear any possible spoilers, tune out for a couple minutes. Tune out. And we'll do this again when we're done. But tune out now.
But we didn't do that last time, sorry.
Yeah, we didn't. So you're probably still like, man, they're still talking about that Stigar.
Stallone is just really...
Man, they're really killing it with this guy.
Like, why does Stallone care about Captain Marvel?
All right, so heroic Hollywood... again, spoiler, maybe. The opening scene is set at the end of the Avengers. So it's kind of like what they did with Dawn of Justice, where like you kind of like started Dawn of Justice seeing the destruction from Batman's perspective of Man of Steel.
Which was awesome. That's one of my favorite sequences.
That actually was legitimately really cool.
Seeing that felt like a comic, because it felt like you're reading two issues in the same month. Like, when you read two issues, see the perspective, you're like, that's what Spider-Man
felt it's like. you read the event comic, but then like you had like the event tie-in, and it was like the Batman crossover tie-in. You're like, oh, man.
That was one of the most comic-y moments of any movie yet, when you saw the perspective from the other hero's perspective.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. So we see that with the Avengers in Spider-Man, but from the perspective of the villain, Adrian Toomes, as played by Michael Keaton.
Batman.
So, and the way it's described here...
Why the Last Man?
he discovers that Tony Stark has bankrolled a government organization to handle the mess of the Chitauri invasion, the incident, as Netflix calls it. Which puts Toomes on a dark path as he decides to steal whatever Chitauri technology he can, which ultimately makes him a full-fledged villain years down the road once Stark puts his company fully out of business. And then they jump forward in time to Civil War, specifically just before the airport battle. It seems like they're kind of picking up some pieces and saying, here's what this guy was doing, here's what Spider-Man was loosely doing leading up to this, and now... Poof, now we're in the movie. So it seems like there's 5 minutes of kind of flashback setup.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is cool.
I actually prefer that than them revisiting Spider-Man's origin story again.
Yeah. It gives us like three things. It gives us the origin element without going full origin. Mm-hmm. It gives us like context for timing. Mm-hmm. And it also gives us like we're instantly invested in where Spider-Man was then. Because all we got in Civil War was that little YouTube clip. So this gives us a lot of texture to the universe without actually investing time. Like it's a great like Crypt Notes. Like it's an abridged version of that. So I think it's smart.
And I don't need to see him bitten by a radioactive spider anymore.
No, we don't need to see that.
Even my dad knows that, and my dad doesn't do comics.
Stephanie and the Mamaw both agree.
Thanks for
But does Uncle Ben die? If I don't see it, I won't know.
All right, we have an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. minute.
Yes,
but before we get to that, I want to...
We
need to take a couple minutes to talk about our sponsor.
Mm. Ooh, yummy.
So you already know who it is. I thought I was going to surprise you guys with it, but you already know.
Oh.
Blue Apron.
Yeah, I'm on the email chain.
But I've been
too.
Eating these MVMT watches.
No, don't do that.
Why not?
Don't do that. You're doing it wrong.
I'm
You're
so hungry. I was wondering why. It's not satiating.
You should be eating Blue Apron, who is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. And their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They have established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. As a result, they have seafood that is sourced sustainably, that is under the standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Their beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. They can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of the food deserts in the United States.
Which, oh, that's important.
That's legitimately that's very important. Important. Yeah.
That's new.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I know. I saw that in the run. I was like, yeah. I can't wait to say that. That's really cool.
Desert
so,
news.
Yeah. If you live in a food desert, Blue Apron.
Yeah, and then fun fact, you can recycle everything that they send you. You, as long as it's at least two deliveries worth, yeah. You can put that back in the original box and print up a free, like, one of the
really?
Free labels, and they will
that's
come and
really
pick
cool.
it up to
I'm
recycle.
Learning so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal, which is quite the deal. Mm-hmm. Featured upcoming meals, because they always change their meals, as mm-hmm. we all know. Mm-hmm. They're constantly changing their menu. Featured upcoming meals, spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salata. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to have that.
Stephanie agrees.
Definitely sounds good.
Jandro hunger rage.
sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. I'm going to say yes to that one, too.
Oh,
Parmesan-crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. If it's got broccoli in it, I say yes. That's one of my... Okay. It's a... That's like that's the black bolt of my vegetables.
just always. Always
the black bolt of veggies for me.
You eat it quietly?
Yeah, well, I eat it quietly because if I exclaim how much I love broccoli...
People get uncomfortable around
roasted oh, broccoli, right. Yeah, nonetheless. Yeah,
I've seen it happen.
It's very... It's explosive.
It's like him with dogs.
Oh, my God. And, of course... The next one, baby broccoli and fontina paninis with hard-boiled egg and arugula salad. Now, another fact, I love arugula salad.
This is just your
so
month.
So this is Blue Apron month for me. So let's see. It's we've already said it's $10 per person. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping, by the way. Pretty incredible. By going to blueapron.com/marvel, you will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. BlueApron.com/Marvel. Better way to cook. So
cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was right in the microphone.
Yep. No. You know what that paper sounds like.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, that's what paper sounds like on the microphone. Yeah. All right.
So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hydra Steve, tell us about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Doom.
1 second, guys.
No problem.
Yeah.
No problem. How I love making Doom
He's
wait.
In there just making food.
How are you doing, Hydra Steve?
Hydra Wife. Good. Oh, there's Doom at the Geek and Sundry Legendary Studios.
Cute.
Hey, guys, welcome back to another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minute with the voice of Doom. Can I tell you guys how excited I am not to be doing another puppet show this week? I'm very excited. Last week's episode was amazing. It was the What If episode. So basically, what if S.H.I.E.L.D. had never happened? What if Hydra had taken over the world? The implications are phenomenally interesting. What happens, basically, if Captain America loses Winter Soldier? What does that do? We visit the Triskelion, which is still standing in this world. We see Coulson teaching pro-Hydra tactics in a high school. We see May basically in charge of Hydra. We got Madam Hydra, sort of, with Ada. Fascinating stuff. We got into all of the specifics of what the world would look like, what we thought of Grant Ward last week on AfterBuzz TV, because it's not, I'll be honest, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate him in these episodes as much as I thought I might. Check it out. We're going to be talking about it again tonight. All of the things that are going to happen now that like people are starting to wake up and see what this framework world is like and how they're going to have to escape it. That's all I got. I'm out of time. I'll let you guys get back into the Thor trailer because that Thor trailer, though.
Oh, Doom. I saw the time code, by the way. 1:17. I'm going to have a talk with Doom.
17 seconds. Right. Over. Well,
that's 17 seconds.
He talked about puppets a little bit. And he got a little
he's got to shave that.
Come on now, guys. We've had talks.
Just who does he think Come he on, is? Doom. Doom. All right, so I think that's a show. I think that's all the time we got. Sorry.
Yeah, there really isn't anything of note to talk about.
Nothing of note to talk about. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Well, Stephanie, at the end of the show, my mom has gifts.
I thought this was the end. Sorry. Fine, keep going.
gifts?
I brought gifts.
She fell for your ploy. Yeah.
You've already given me a gigantic Doctor Strange.
Yes, I did.
Poster. You don't have to bring more gifts. You should... Now I feel awful that I don't have a gift
for
you.
That's what moms do.
That's a good point. My mom would do the same.
Yeah.
Sure. That Thor Ragnarok trailer, though, right? Like, he was absolutely correct. That was real good. I want to brag real quick.
Okay.
If I may.
Thanks for making that trailer, Matt.
You're welcome. You're
Matt
welcome,
Key confirms
everybody.
He made the Thor Ragnarok trailer.
I am, actually.
That's why he keeps announcing it's the most excited. He's like, I'm most excited for Thor Ragnarok.
He's like,
T.Y. Kiki.
Here I am, everybody. Hello. Take a TT.
And I would have gotten away with it, too.
If I wasn't, take a TT.
So tall.
I know.
So last week on the Screen Junkies, we did a video because like I was kind of complaining around the office. I was like, where's the Thor? Like, it's April. Where's the Thor Ragnarok trailer? And they were like, well, so what if it's April? And I was like, no. Like, Doctor Strange came out in November. We got our teaser in April. Thor Ragnarok comes out in April. We should be getting a teaser any minute now. And they're like, man, it's only like 4 days in. I was like, I know. We should still do, like, let's do a video about it. Let's talk about it. So that's what we did. In that video, I said we should be getting it any day now. We'll probably get a teaser or an actual full trailer sometime around Comic-Con. Okay. And then I said, they asked me, like, what do you want to see in the trailer? And I was kind of explained a few things. And I said, and then the end of the trailer has to be Hulk and Thor leaping at each other in the gladiator ring to punch each other out. But it cuts out right before we see the punch. And we got a trailer 2 days later with it ending that way. And I was like, I was very proud of myself.
Koi confirms Matt Key is Thor Ragnarok.
Koi confirms Matt Key is full of himself. That's what it should have been.
Matt Key loves Matt Key.
Yeah. I don't want to go that far. Matt Key wants to love Matt Key.
That's cool. You're tapped into the universe.
I'm certainly tapped into this movie. It's like I've
with
said.
With good reason. My God, this trailer.
Well, it's...
this trailer.
I'm just glad that everyone has finally seen some of, like, the bits that I saw at Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Because, like, and, like, that was just, like, I wasn't knowing what to expect when I saw that. So I was like, what did I just see? That was madness. And now, like, I... Wow, I love it.
Just turned into a cartoon.
That's what happens when Matt eats broccoli too.
Yeah. You've seen it. So let's talk about it.
All right.
I'm gonna throw it to you
and talk over it. What
Hydra Steve?
Do?
Can we play that without getting in trouble? Do you know? All right. Well, while you're doing that, you tell us. Hydra Steve is gonna see if he can prep the trailer for us. In the meantime, we'll just talk.
All right.
So let's just start with the basic. Markia.
Okay.
Favorite moment.
Oh.
She liked it, I think.
That's so difficult. That's so difficult. I mean, okay, well, the my absolute favorite moment, I think, is a lot of people's favorite moment, where it's like, and I give you your incredible... burst through the door. Yes! I know him! That's my friend from work!
He's a friend from work!
It's
the best.
It's the Daryl comedy feel. Like, it's so that teaser. God. It's so, like, his comedy is so perfectly dry. Like, it doesn't feel sophomoric.
Perfect Thor. Thor. That's what he's been this entire time.
He just hasn't been unlocked the right way. Hydra Steve, you have it pulled up there? You want to go, you want to play it? Great, let's do it. So we're gonna kind of talk through it a little bit. So don't get too annoyed with this, everybody at home.
Yeah, because we're doing a picture in a picture.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that this is Muspelheim.
Okay.
That's what I think. I think this is Muspelheim.
I say it's a record scratch meme. But continue.
Now this part is tremendously cool.
This I love. Okay, tell me that this has to be her like doing Hand of Glory.
Oh, no, that's exactly what that is.
Exactly.
Like, so here's the deal with Hela, everybody. Hela can actually kill gods just by touching them.
Yes.
She's incredibly powerful. She is legitimately the goddess of death.
And she totally looks like that girl that you went to high school with.
The hottest girl in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to say the name of the high school girl that I'm thinking of. Here he is on Sakaar. For the first time, Thor. Yeah, here's a Valkyrie.
Oh,
that's one of like that's such a rock album shot. Like, yeah. Like, yes. That's like
there's
a,
so much rock album imagery in this. There's so many. Like, I remember this in my dad's album collection from 1979. No, this is
like,
82.
I mean, like, this is a Led Zeppelin album cover. Every single shot.
You see, the Grandmaster's guards are jamming out. They're that doing shot. Like air guitar on their tritons.
The shot of Carl Urban, man.
Well, and that's by the way. Oh, hold on. Did I miss the curve? Kirby lines, because I love the Kirby lines so much. Do we see the Kirby lines? Oh, look at the Kirby lines. You can see the Kirby lines in the door that the Hulk is about to come out of in the background. Like the fact that they have like the cosmic like New Gods Kirby lines. Oh, that.
And then here it is.
There's a Wilder People reference in the background.
No, not here. That was at the beginning.
Right, but the fact that it exists in this trailer.
Oh, look. I know him from work. Love it. We know each other. He's
a friend from work. And he's like, dude, keep it low.
Love it.
Like,
there it is. Boom.
Helmsworth finally gets to play Thor. Like, you know
Thor,
what I mean?
Thor.
Like,
And it's 90 seconds. It doesn't tell us anything, but it gives us so much.
The tone.
It
gives us every bit of the pacing, the tone, the crazy, the madness.
Yeah.
And, like, the imagery is enough for me to be, I'm catching up to your excitement. Like, you were saying this is your...
You're, like, excited.
Yeah.
This trailer sold me in so many ways. And it's not the Spider-Man trailer that told me too much. It's not the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer 3 that I didn't want because I felt like it told me too much.
Yeah, it didn't need the dancing scene, but...
Yeah, like, it didn't give me the things that... This is everything I wanted to be and nothing I didn't want it to be.
Exactly.
Like, the haircut fit. The long hair fit. The way she looked was awesome. Like, all of the imagery translated to 3D was perfect.
Yeah.
And I was afraid of that, to be honest. I saw some of the screenshots, and I was like, how will that play moving? And then it did.
And then this, it totally did.
That shot right there.
God, so good. It's so good.
Yeah, it's Hela with the helmet. Although I like to call her Hela, because Hela? She's a heel. So,
well done.
Wrestling.
Wow. It's wrestling.
So, to the uninitiated, the non-comic fans, what do you guys think of the trailer? I'm very curious what it looks like, because this is deep comics. As far as Thor goes, that is a Hela...
You realize that like was behind them.
Yeah, but they've seen the show. I showed them like 10 times.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
We watched it before we got here.
It's like, do I know you? You're coy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm going to just ignore my family real quick. No, you guys can watch too. It's cool. Yeah. It's cool.
I am not a big Thor fan. Never have been. I'm finally a Thor fan.
Ooh.
Oh.
I'm actually excited about this movie for the first time.
Wow.
Nice.
So they've
turned me onto the Thor side.
The Thor side. Mama?
It looks really interesting. I like the...
Yeah.
I want to see more of that.
It looks fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does look fun.
And the other movies looked forced.
Yeah.
Like they were trying too hard.
Yeah, the second one was, kind of muddled. Yeah. I kind of think of it as average and muddled, like average action.
Exactly.
The second one had some fun set pieces, like when the reality was ripping and, like, Thor was flying through the portals and, like, fighting Malekith. Like, that was a cool set piece. Yeah. But
I like Jane having more to do than, so. Mm-hmm. But
I like the Shakespearean flavor they built in the first one, and I liked the war flavor they built in the second one. This one looks like... the acid road trip dream I wanted, and that throws all that out the window, and I'm fine with that.
The colors are vivid.
Like, I love how the world building worked, and I was like, can't wait for 3, maybe they'll finally do it. And then, like, they were like, what if we throw all that out? And I was like, what if you do? Okay.
What if
like,
you do? No problem. You should.
Please,
like, let's do it.
Okay.
I wish that you would do that.
And then, like, all of a sudden I learned, I was like, I'm just brand new, and that's great, because that's hard to do with the world building, and that's hard to do in a 12 installment cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to just be like, what if nothing?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is how you convert new watchers.
That's why I wanted to know new watchers. Right. Because I know neither of you are giant Thor fans, but Chris Hemsworth.
But huge movie fan.
Oh, yeah, Chris Hemsworth.
See, everyone's
a fan. We don't mind watching the movies because we enjoy what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give us content
and
actual enjoyability beyond just the visual...
You'll go back and watch it more.
Well, and
watch
more and more content is going to continue to bring you back. Like,
right.
Exactly. And I think that is, like, certainly, like, Dark World was, I mean, it's middling. It was middling.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, it was. I mean, and then it was also like you had really great characters in it. I mean, Lady Sif, pulling it out and everything. But it just, you didn't care.
Exactly.
Didn't care about any of it.
And, didn't care about the characters beyond the story.
I can't really get into it because I think I would get my friend in trouble, but I've heard about some pretty specific production troubles that they had with that movie.
Where, oh, okay. That would make some sense.
Yeah.
Then.
So,
okay.
But
hey, we got Thor 3 now.
Yeah. So. And Thor 3 looks like, and again, like my, like, based on what I saw, because I've still, like, I mean, I hate to be like, me, but, like, it was, like, I saw this, like, stuff at Comic-Con last year where it was, like, they showed Fenris Wolf, they showed Surtur, they showed, like, they showed spaceships flying through space, not just on planets, and it's just, like, what in the living hell is this movie? Like, what is going on with this movie? It, like... It's very much like every prog rock album cover ever all smashed into one.
And they, like, showed us just enough of each character in the teaser that I didn't feel like I learned too much, but I also know that they're... Like, Heimdall, that shot of Heimdall...
Oh,
I,
what's going on? Right?
Like, I needed to know Idris Elba was there.
Yeah, like, it's like, are we talking flashback here? Because, you know, his hair is long.
Got that awesome beard.
He doesn't have to wear the helmet, which he didn't like. He didn't like that helmet.
No, it was too heavy.
I don't think we are.
But, like, that's...
I don't think it's flashback.
I think it's like he's fighting for the end of days, like Ragnarok. I think that's him.
I think he escaped the destruction of Asgard and is kind of fighting on the outskirts of
he's
it.
He's helping out.
Right. I was excited to see him.
Yeah, as soon as you see Idris Elba in any trailer, you're like, well, that's
like, what was his name again? Yes, I'm glad he's there.
Yeah, Idris Elba as Idris Heimdall.
And Idris Elba and Jeff Goldblum, what the fuck?
He doesn't have his armor. He doesn't have his armor, and the going theory on his armor is that he can see every soul in the universe because it has the soul stone.
And then also his eyes glow just about the same color as the soul stone, so maybe it's somewhere, maybe it's like a chest thing. And he just had to, you know, compensate with the have it with the costume.
But like
costume,
what,
I'm sorry, his uniform.
His uniform, his armor. But what if like, you know, Hela attacks, wants the Soul Stone. What if she wants the Soul Stone because there is this dude named Thanos who wants it and she's trying to work with him because she's actually deaf. Like, there's so many fun little bitty things that you can kind of start to pick apart and wonder about.
They better not kill Heimdall. They're going to kill Heimdall.
They're going to kill him. I think a lot of people are going to die in this.
But he is my favorite of those.
But here's the deal. If they're gods. So they in the comics, the gods can kind of cycle back. Like, even Odin has to go into his deep Odin sleep, which is basically like death. And then he resurrects himself, basically. So
now, I love this shot, but this can't... My giant X-Men heart wants that to be a shot of Bishop so bad.
Oh my god.
Look at that image. Imagine Bishop. Imagine if he was Bishop and the X-Men actually existed. What if we actually had an X-Men universe?
All right. So let's get into it.
Fox doesn't get him.
No.
Let's
go deserve him.
No.
Logan, though. Actually, that's a perfect example. Logan, X-Men Origins Wolverine got us Logan. If Thor 1 and 2, I consider Thor 1 and 2 great thirds of movies. If they led to Thor 3 by way of throwing it all away, then hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all about like rag and rockin' with this. So let's break it down a little bit. The hellish chain dimension that we saw, we don't know where it is. We don't know what it is. And I think I may have actually gotten this wrong when I was on Screen Junkies the other day.
Could it be, just like quick speculation, sorry,
sure.
I interrupted you.
No, interrupt all the way.
Could it be maybe this is the part, well, it depends on the storyline, but like, could this be, you know, with the whole David Blake storyline, and then like Thor is killed, and then he goes to this like fiery dimension. He's right in front of the God Devourer, and then Loki ends up saving him by using Silver Surfer's like power to help form
the power cosmic.
Yeah, to help form another. I'm going to mispronounce it. Thor's hammer.
Mjolnir. We got you.
Meow meow. And then, you know, forms that to then it zooms to Thor, and then that helps save him. So that might be he's
Are you saying
dead
this is
and
at
he's
the
in
beginning
front of
the, or the end?
I would say that's at the end.
The only
or
problem
like one
he
of those
has
record
long hair.
Scratch moments.
He has his long hair.
That's
and here's what I was thinking.
When he dies, he reverts back to form.
Maybe I don't know. Like I have no idea what this is. In any way.
Besides an homage to the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
Yeah, besides a great 80s action cover.
But when I was on Screen Junkies on Monday analyzing it, I said that I thought it was probably like a flash forward, and the movie star was like, you're probably wondering how I ended up this way. Like, he's directly addressing camera, like, in that shot. Like, Taika Waititi's like, sure, direct address. Deadpool does it. So can Thor. And I'm on board. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe it just, like, looked like that's what it looked. But that's what it looks like in the trailer, is that that's what he's doing. I initially thought it was a flash forward and that they were going to, like, after, like, they were going to end right before you saw what the actual threat was or where mm-hmm. he actually was, and then go 2 weeks earlier, and then go, like, back in time. And then
he's in Darren's, Darren?
Daryl.
Then he's just, like, chilling in Daryl's place.
Chilling in Daryl's place. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But that can't be because he's got his long hair. So unless mm-hmm. he grows hair incredibly fast, he's a god. Maybe he does.
I don't believe that.
I don't, but
out
I don't
of everything,
that,
I don't so believe that.
I think that's too far.
I draw the line.
Yeah, I think that's probably legitimately where the movie starts and it goes forward, like, in a just normal narrative way. So I think maybe he's looking for Odin and he ends up in this dimension and he ends up being caught and then he has to escape it.
Okay, but I mean, for it to be a true record scratch moment, it has to take place further in the narrative, and then you get to that point.
I mean, yes, I mean, but it doesn't have to be the record scratch, and the fact that he has his long hair there seems to communicate to me, this is before all of the Planet Hulk, Sakaar.
That does make stuff. A lot of sense. It'd be before here, where he's been captured by Valkyrie.
Because he's about to lose his hair here, so... Mm-hmm.
Gladiators don't need hair.
Gladiators don't, and I'm glad to see his haircut. Whatever, I don't care. Like mm-hmm. it's hair, whatever. But because he has his long hair there, and we know he gets his hair cut, and probably mm-hmm. doesn't have his long hair at the end of the movie, that can't be at the end of the movie. That has to be at the beginning of the movie. So,
it is a sound theory.
Thank you for my. Thank you for that. Anyway, yes. I really think he ends up going to Muspelheim to look for. Odin. It's either that or he ends up, that's Niflheim where Hela is from, and he goes there thinking maybe she had something to do with Odin, or maybe Odin sends him down there and he doesn't know it's Loki. There's a lot of things that it could be, but I think he ends up going down there on suspicion of Odin being like missing, or because he hears Hela's gotten loose or something.
Can we talk about the two most important parts of the trailer?
Of course.
Jeff Goldblum.
Those are the two most important parts of the trailer. The other two most important parts of the trailer. The wings on his helmet. Like, the shot of him pulling it down. The wings going up was so exciting.
That is very cool.
That is extremely...
And the Loki knife flip.
The Loki knife flip.
We didn't know how big of a part Loki was going to have. Like, they were kind of trying to keep it cut. And then all of a sudden they had that, like, newsstand picture of them two sitting. Was like, oh, Loki's in this. Like, I'm so glad they put... This felt like a really good trailer to appease both American comic fans. I mean, just the general comic fans and general people. Like, this felt like it just appeased everyone.
Yeah.
Because, like, the average moviegoer sees, like, oh, the guy who played Loki's back. Oh, Jeff Goldblum's here. Oh, this. And then at the same time, like, these are crazy comic references.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really well put together for just everyone to be excited.
I totally agree.
And that moment was so, like, you know, going into battle, but it had wings. So I was just like,
yeah. We've got Goldblum pulled up. Goldblum's playing a character named the Grandmaster. The Grandmaster in the comics typically does exactly what Goldblum does. He doesn't have his own, like, gladiator pit, but he does kind of go to these different beings and smash them together and make them fight. I think he was responsible for Contest of Champions in, like, 83. And I'm pretty sure he was in the revamp that they just released a couple years ago, like, during Marvel Now's movement. But his big thing is, like, making heroes and villains and the strongest in the universe fight each other.
Yeah,
it works. And he loves fighting in the games too. Like, I think that it's him that he plays against Thor or Thanos for one of the stones during the Thanos quest.
Nice.
So, which is one of my favorite comics. I think it was him, and they played like this weird virtual reality version of chess, and Thanos ended up winning. And he's like, "You won. Here's the stone." Like, he obeys. Like, he has like a code of ethics and everything. So, but it seems like here they're turning him into more like the leader of Sakaar. Basically, like in Planet Hulk, and I think Tessa Thompson's character, the Valkyrie, is the character who the Hulk fell in love with. I can't remember her name, but like they ended up having their baby, the next Hulk. I'm forgetting all these names.
Right.
Scar
was that? Was it Scar?
Yeah,
was it Scar?
That's why I thought Sakaar was silly.
I was like, yeah, it was Scar, wasn't it? I second guessed myself. I was like, it's Scar, but it's not Scar. Scar, no, it's not Scar. I think that's Hulk's name. I think they all refer to him as the Green Scar, the Green Scar, because that's what they called him in the comics, was the Scar or the Great Scar.
Right.
So I think Hulk or Thor keeps hearing all these rumors about this gladiator that he's got to fight, and they're like, he's our champion. You're going to have to fight him. You're probably not going to beat him. He's this giant green behemoth, and he's probably like, yes, I fought something like that before. His name is Scar. Okay. And then it gets into the ring, and it actually is at the Hulk. And I think that's why he's like, yes! This is like,
I can't wait for that build up.
That's going to be so like, great.
Even knowing the payoff, I still
no, it's still. Because the payoff's worth it for the to give the tone joke, like the style of humor.
Something that I'm wondering, because, you know, like, this is obviously like Planet Hulk, you know, and everything's like, okay, so how did Hulk get here for this? Because I'm thinking they're going to change the origins with that. I doubt that he's been banished by anybody to this particular planet.
I don't think there was an Illuminati thing,
Yeah, no. So, you weren't supposed to show that yet. That was the end of show meme. I even labeled it end of show meme.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's my favorite.
It is the best.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, how they had with Civil War when it was like, we were tracking his plane and then, you know, it looks like it went silent here around there. So he ripped out whatever they were tracking, threw it out, and then maybe he just zoomed off.
That's
a possibility.
It's possible that that's what happened. I'm just
trying to figure out how they got him on Sakaar.
It's also entirely possible that the Grandmaster knows who the Hulk is, heard about him, and was like, well, I want him to fight, and kidnapped him. Like, that's because that's what the Grandmaster does.
He just pulls you on planets and plops him.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm actually kind of hoping happened.
Okay.
It saves you a lot of story time.
But
it definitely would.
But I could also see, like, you know, maybe the movie even starting with Bruce Banner in that Quinjet and just flying off into space, accidentally getting into a portal or something. Like, I don't know.
Because anything this weird is going to be fine. Like, whatever storyline they go. Can we talk about how cool Tessa Thompson looks as Valkyrie? Can we just mention the glory that is Tessa Thompson?
Go for it.
Tessa Thompson in Creed. Creed is an incredible movie in that it does the prequel, reboot, sequel thing that Star Trek did so well, but with an 80s franchise, little-known thing called Rocky. Now, Tessa Thompson manages to be a strong enough actress to play off Michael B. Jordan and Stallone, and I didn't know this actress until that movie.
Yeah.
And I wanted her in everything. And now she's freaking Valkyrie. Like, she is such a presence. She's so, like, she reads as so intelligent, but, like, sexy and smart. Like, intelligent and smart. She just reads as so, like, commanding.
Yeah.
And that's so cool to see someone wearing just a simple leather getup have that much presence that you're like, oh, she could fight Thor. I just met her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love that she had, like, 15 seconds of screen time and I already knew I wanted more.
Yeah.
I knew I was excited about Goldmine. I knew I was excited about her. But, like, each of these moments just, like, it fulfilled
just
that.
Just sold it even more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it verified how excited you were.
Yeah.
So this, like, this is such an album cover. Like, I'm just so in love with this one shot. Like this one shot alone gets, like, I'll go see this in IMAX. Like, just from this, like, hey, yeah, that looks good. So in this shot, we see all the Valkyrie. There's a lot of them fighting against Hela, who's, like, kind of off to the center right of the screen there.
About the Valkyor when it's more than one.
Maybe I don't know how to parse Valkyrie, but maybe. But they're all on Pegasi. Did I do that correctly?
Nice. Yes.
A murder of Pegasi. A crow.
Right. A murderous crow of Pegasi.
Yeah, that's how it's done.
You know, they all have their own Pegasus that they ride. They all have their swords drawn. They're all attacking Hela, and she basically wipes them all out. I think that's what happens. Mm-hmm. I think this is a flashback to when Hela was initially captured.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what her intention was. I don't know. Like, I've heard some things that they were, they guard Valhalla, and Hela was like, no, I'm the queen of the dead. I should have Valhalla too. Like, she's coming to invade it. I don't know. All I know is that according to the plot summaries, Odin imprisons her. And is like, nope, you're done. You're going to prison. And she's been there for eons. And she's super upset when she gets out.
A bit irritated.
A bit irritable.
A bit irritated.
But in this shot, like, I think that might be Tessa Thompson who's, like, falling to her doom.
Yeah.
And then somehow gets onto Sakaar. I think probably every single last one of her, like, Valkyrie sisters were wiped out. She ran away or got away, retreated, whatever, ended up on Sakaar, and she's been hiding out there ever since. And I think, like, Sakaar has just become a way of life for her because that's what she has to do to survive. So when Thor shows up, she's like, oh, no, you're going to the ring. I can't have you exposing me for who I actually am.
Right.
I think that's what's going on there. That's context clues. That's what I'm
piecing together. I like Sakaar as being a type of Vegas where everybody just ends up there.
Yeah, yeah,
at
I love
some
it.
Point.
Yeah,
and any longer than 3 days is too much.
Yeah,
yes.
I feel
no
like
more than 3 days.
No more than 3 days ever. No. 72 hours for anyone who's never been to Vegas. Yeah. Yeah. The thing I like most about this trailer is it feels like the first time we've steered away from Feige's vision. Because Kevin Feige set out this brutal, like, amazing 10-year plan, and we're coming to the end of that, and I got worried. This feels like the first time that we had to make a giant leap in a direction that wasn't in the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is the leap we take, then we're in good hands. That's kind of like when the trailer ended, I was like, oh, this couldn't have been what they planned on.
Yeah.
Good?
Good?
Like, it shows we're learning from mistakes. It shows we're shaping a universe. It shows that it's still within canon-ish, but we're not living by these. It's like we're playing with pencils instead of inks. Like, we're allowing things to be in a certain guideline without actually stressing about it. Because none of this feels like the first two, but it doesn't hurt the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. And that gives me hope for things going forward, that we don't have to stress so much about things working together. Because that's why we haven't had the Netflix thing. Like, we haven't been able to blend because there's such stringent guidelines. And this trailer gives me so much hope in Phase 4 onward.
Yeah. All right, we've got to move on. Because we need to shut down. But
Scourge...
Scourge, do you want to talk about Scourge real quick?
I
go
mean,
for
we
it.
Should.
No,
I mean, they do like a quick shot in it, right? And it seems to
of
be
Carl
like
Carl Urban
of Carl Urban, but it seems to be like the ultimate shot
the
where
shot
you have
of...
the shot. Yes, I mean, we shouldn't. I mean, because that's such
fair,
an ultimate.
Be fair
it's
with
a,
your spoilers.
It's a really it's a great shot. It tips off to a really great moment for this particular character, Scourge, where
from the comics,
and let's just say it's him on a bridge. Okay, you know Gandalf. Where it's like, this far and no further. It's,
you shall not
it's
pass.
It's like, you shall not pass. It's
this is
it's
that's
like
his
that.
Shall not pass.
It's like that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's...
You are talking about the Walt Simonson run from like 85, 86 called Rockin' Ragnarok, I believe. Is what it, or Ragnarok and Roll. That's what... that's
the other pun on Rock and Roll and Ragnarok.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's the run that you're talking about where like he defends Asgard against... the forces of Malekith and Surtur.
Right. And he picks up two machine guns and he just...
It is epic. It's one of his best moments as a character, yeah.
It really is.
One of the... I responded to this moment in a big way, too. Here's my thinking. Going off of what you're saying, I think that this movie is a combination of the Simonson run of Ragnarok and Planet Hulk.
Yes.
And I think that, so Malekith was the big bad of that entire series, except that he was trying to get Surtur out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And Surtur is like, it took Odin and his two brothers to defeat him, and two of those brothers died. That's how powerful Surtur is.
Yeah.
So if they release Surtur and they have Hela, there's no fighting them, really.
Mm.
You know, especially if Odin's out of commission and no one knows where he is, which is probably why they're trying to find him, because Hela's wreaking havoc. I think she's trying to free Surtur from his fiery dungeon of Muspelheim to unleash him on Asgard fully and just erase it, obliterate it. I think that's what's going on. Anyway, let's go to Coy. Do you have any other things that you want to say? Okay, we've got guests. We've got to wait for it for a second. Anything else on Thor Ragnarok? Because we have to start wrapping up.
In conclusion, it looks better than I expected, and I expected a lot. It looks more like... It is Guardians-y, and I knew it would be, but it also feels more 80s than Guardians-y in its own way. Like, it has a different Guardians-esque flavor. It's like, if Guardians of the Galaxy is like Baskin-Robbins, this feels like Ben and Jerry's. They're both ice cream, and they're both delicious, but it's a different version
it's
of
a
it.
Different, it's a... Okay. Yeah.
So, I like that it felt ben different, and I definitely love the way the Marvel Universe is going, and like I said, this feels like the thing that wasn't scripted yet, and it gives me a lot of faith in the new foundation.
Yeah.
I don't want things to get stale, and it does not go that
way. No, it does not. All right. Let's move on to the Mary Marvelites.
Yes. So, shout outs. Donovan Hunter at Movie Buff. Today's my birthday. Can I get a birthday shout out on the next show?
Birthday.
Happy birthday,
shout
Donovan.
Out.
Donna yes.
Hunter.
And continuing with shout outs. These are shout outs for y'all people. Glorious Greg, Daniel Drew, Ricky Alsace. Max Russell, Jacques. Yeah.
Jacques
the Jakes. Yeah. Elan G. Rosario. Sorry if I... Alan G. Rosario.
She's a big Doctor Strange fan with me.
Oh,
we talk on Twitter.
Nice.
Don't worry about it.
Eric
cool.
Sundman. Yeah, well, you know, we love you. Purple Jeebus OG. And Evan at Harris EV9.
Those are a lot of
record
OG hardcore Marvelites.
Yeah.
Nice. Shout-outs,
y'all. Yeah. Those are hardcore Marvelites.
We've got a series of questions. We'll answer those on Twitter, though. We answered a lot of questions just throughout the regular...
Oh, are there any character interactions you're excited to see in Infinity War?
Right.
I really want to see
Doctor Strange.
This is from
Jocelyn at Bad Wolf Bay 10.
I want to see Doctor Strange and Ebony Maw.
Oh, Ebony Maw would be a good one.
Ebony Maw is one of the generals that works with Thanos, and I want to see that. Yeah. So, because that's
she's
a
one
big,
of the five. There's her super giant, Proxima
Midnight,
Black Dwarf, and then Corvus Glaive.
Spider-Man and Star-Lord.
Oh, that is a good one. That's a good one.
That's
do you have one?
That's my big moment.
Yeah, Thanos and anybody. Because,
fair enough.
Wow.
Is he going to stand, though? Because I'd like to see that shot. I'd like to see the standing Thanos shot.
I just kind of want him to just stay in the
chair.
That's
the moment.
I just want
the
chair to hover. I want it to be like a Dalek.
Yeah.
Pat.
Yes. We answered Ashley Houchkin's question. How big a role do you see Doctor Strange having? We did not answer question.
I think that here's what I want to see from this. I want to see Doctor Strange and Loki and Thor all teaming up to go take on Hela and search her together. And I think maybe Odin ends up being kind of pulled into that. Like, it would be amazing to see Doctor Strange like, fine, I'll do my magic to save the world. Like, I would love that. So that's... I know that he's going to play a significant role in probably like the end of the second act, beginning of the third, to help find Odin.
Yeah. Oh, because he wouldn't really be able to do much of anything against Hela, because she's an Asgardian, so they're resistant to magic.
Or it starts there, and Doctor Strange sends him to Muspelheim, and that's how he ends up in like the fiery dimension.
It's like, oops!
Strange sends him there, like, looking for Odin.
Yeah, be so, like, hey, he's there somewhere, go find
he's
him.
He's there somewhere, good luck.
At @trade2smooth_, how would you guys feel if they introduced Gambit and X-Force? Did we talk about this one already?
I would be fine with it.
I would like it because I need it to start happening.
I just want to see Gambit. Yeah, I want to see Gambit.
See Tates and my Gambit close.
See Tates.
I just want my
Tates.
Tates.
Yeah, just need Tates to dance to some Genuine. From Damien.
Gambit likes Genuine too.
He does like Genuine. @HanCholo. Led Zeppelin in a #MCU movie is what we needed. With Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I'm just waiting for, now that's what I call Marvel soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Which is lovely, and I would buy all the volumes. And then the final thing was the Thor meme.
There we go.
Yeah. It's fun.
That's so fun.
My favorite moment.
All right, we have gifts from Mama Jandro and Mama.
Well, Mama.
There you go.
That is your copy.
Oh, thank you.
What is this?
It's Amethyst, the Platinum Series.
Oh,
and it's written by Stephanie.
Hey,
it is
that's
my book.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. This is so
great.
You
wrote a book.
Stephanie
wrote a book. That's amazing. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you for this.
And it's in comic book sleeves. I didn't want them to get damaged in the travel.
That's so nice.
Thank
you. I
appreciate that so much. Thank you.
You are welcome.
We will read these.
Heck yeah.
And I ran into some Marvelites on our travels.
Did you?
We were supposed to have a direct flight.
Uh-huh.
There were storms. We got rerouted to Chicago and got stranded with some lovely Marvelites.
Oh, that's awesome.
They are Stephanie and Lizzie. And
hi,
their best
and
friend, Matt Coy at WonderCon, was very excited to meet him.
Oh, that's cool.
And
WonderCon was fun.
They were excited to meet the mother of Coy. So we bonded, and they were coming to L.A. to get married.
Aww.
So congratulations to Stephanie and Lizzie on their wedding.
Congratulations.
Hi. So nice. That was our wedding gift that they got to meet, you know, almost Coy.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's so cool.
WonderCon was crazy. That
yeah,
was so
WonderCon
fun.
Was great.
Everyone I met, you guys were great.
We got it. Yeah, everyone that we met, you guys are awesome, but we got to wrap. I'm really sorry. That's an hour and a half show. All right. At the Matt Key is my Twitter. That's probably the only place you'll find me ever on social media.
Right. You'll find me on really Instagram and Twitter at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty, and Snapchat is Darth Thinmints. Darth is Invader. Thinmints is in Girl Scout cookies.
Instagram and Twitter at CoyJandreau and at WonderCon again next year because that was so much fun. You guys are great.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us, Jandro ladies.
Thank you.
Got to go.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.